News, November 13, 1978. It was a balmy fall evening in Bernau, a little town about 30 miles north of Berlin, Germany. More than 20 years, less than 50 years ago, the Weimar Republic, the democracy of Germany, seemed to be secure and strong, and new Reichstag elections were on, or that's their word for congressional elections were on. I was helping George Bernard in his campaign, said Heinz Paul, as candidate of the German Democratic Party. Bernard, editor of the large, one of the largest newspapers in Berlin, was not popular with certain groups who taught that Germany was the greatest country in the world and that everyone opposed to their way of thinking was a Jew or a Red, or a nigger, un-German, and must be dealt with accordingly. Veterans mobilized. These parties and groups led by such men as Adolf Hitler and Hugenberg, the latter now an advisor to the British occupation authorities and a member of the Ruhr Industrial Committee, announced that Bernard would not speak in Bernau, stronghold of the 100% Germans. Bernau, spelled B-E-R-N-A-U. Officials of the Democratic Party at Bernau told the local police that the stormtroopers, the Staffelheim, and other war veterans organizations had concentrated in and around the town. Police assured party officials that everything would be under control. When Bernard's car arrived, two police cars joined us. The streets were lined with jeering members of the Hitler-Hugenberg private armies. They continued to jeer at us in the big meeting hall. When the police opened the door an hour before the meeting, they found 200 husky young men already seated in the front rows. One Democratic Party official protested. The police officer in charge reassured him, "Don't worry, these boys are only friends of the son of the proprietor of the meeting hall. Just kids having a little fun." The fun starts. The kids begin enjoying themselves a little later, interrupting the speakers, singing war songs, throwing paper swastikas, singing songs of racial hate, molesting anyone who dared approve the speaker's remarks, even amid cries like, "Next time we'll cut your throat before you open your mouth, you dirty Jew, you dirty nigger." Bernard was able to finish his speech, barely, without physical harm. Escorted by five policemen who had stood idly by during the meeting, we went to our car. All four tires had been slashed, and we had to wait for replacements. Then the police captain saluted and said, "I hope you'll agree that my men did an excellent job protecting you. We'll take you to the gates of the town and leave you there. Then you'll have the straight road back to Berlin. Be sure to take that." Sounds like something straight out of Z, doesn't it? Well, it just happened in Westchester, New York, that the most decorated U.S. Negro pilot in the last war has been clubbed by stormtroopers protesting a peace march there in the same despicable fashion, this time of year, less than 50 years after people fail to see what history is, and those, as we say so often, who do not study history are doomed to repeat it. So be sure to take the straight road back to Berlin, the road home. The road was straight, so was the wire stretched across it about 3 miles outside of Bernau. We would have all been killed, but our driver had seen some suspicious-looking people along the road and instinctively slowed down. When we left the car to cut the wire, we were showered with stones and rocks from both sides of the road. We couldn't see much. Bernard's glasses were broken. His head was gashed. My shoulder was badly injured. We heard an order snapped. Finish these red skunks, these Jewish niggers, fast and without noise. We ran for cover behind the trees. Fortunately, a truck came by. Too controversial. Our attackers disappeared with our car. The truck took us to the nearest hospital. 5 days later, we were able to continue the campaign. But we were not allowed to return to Bernau because the city council, on the recommendation of the chief of police, who is now a prominent official in the West German Republic, an ally of U.S. imperialism, decided that Bernard was a controversial figure who presented a threat to the peaceful minds of the population. Bernard's car was found in a ditch near Bernau, completely smashed. The police said they had no fingerprints, but were sure the car had been stolen and wrecked by communists or Jews. Long, long ago. All that happened long ago, of course. It couldn't possibly happen again in America. Only an eccentric like me, with a warped mind, who would have stayed in Germany and been beaten to a pulp by stormtroopers, can wonder whether Bernau lies a few miles north of New York City in Westchester County, where race riots are now taking place. When will we ever learn? I thought perhaps there would be something to be gained from that to the sensitive in heart. There was no news upon the arrival of those who threaten our community. Their forces are not as large as first estimated. We are not assured of their actions. We are assured that we have the right to use all reasonable force to keep anyone out of our premises that we do not wish here. Onward with the news of this Monday. The top U.S. economist believes strongly that Carter's voluntary wage and price guidelines will not work and that the U.S. is headed for a Great Depression. The Chinese government has announced a big harvest despite the major drought. China attributes the big boost in production to coordinated planning and incentives given to Chinese farmers. Indira Gandhi, the former Prime Minister of India, traveled today to London, her first trip since she lost the general election last year. During her 8-day stay in England, she will attend celebrations commemorating the birth of her late father, the first Prime Minister of India, Nehru. Tanzanian forces of Socialist President Nyerere's government are counterattacking again, occupying Ugandan forces. The CIA, with our tax dollars, is continuing to foster hate and tension and war tensions between Uganda and Tanzania. Heavy fighting has been going on for the last 24 hours, and the casualties may be in the thousands. The Israeli cabinet has rejected Egypt's most recent proposal to link a peace treaty with the question of Palestinian autonomy in the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip, Israel not willing to give up the territory it has conquered by force against the will of the people. They did not learn from their own pain in Germany. In Spain, the Basque separatist organization ETA has said that it was totally responsible for the recent bomb explosions in San Sebastian and Pamplona, which began on Friday soon after large-scale demonstrations against terrorism. No group yet admitted carrying out the attacks on two civil guard vehicles in which four people were killed. The Basque separatists are socialistic and considered the gypsy, more of the gypsy that we saw in the movie recently that was so moving about the Spanish Civil War. Three students have been killed in riots that broke out in Lima on Friday and in other cities in Peru. Others have been reported to be killed and injured, and some have disappeared. The Malayan government has ordered the captain of the passenger ship carrying more than 2,500 Vietnamese refugees on board to abandon Malaya's jurisdictional waters. The United Nations had previously asked Malayan authorities to grant asylum to refugees, even if only on a temporary basis, and to give them humanitarian aid needed. It is not even certain that they have enough food and water to leave the Malayan waters. This is the condition of the world we live in this day. Archbishop John Quinn of San Francisco has sent a letter to Carter suggesting a current violence in Nicaragua will continue as long as the government of Anastasio Somoza remains in power and that U.S. continues to aid it. He demands that U.S. cease its aid, a decision to deny all forms of U.S. military and economic assistance would be seen as a symbolic gesture aimed at redefining our relationship with Nicaragua, said the Roman Catholic prelate in his letter, the first such letter to appear against dictatorships in Central and South America by the Catholic Church of USA. The Archbishop's communication with the President was revealed at a press conference here Monday, kicking off a week of solidarity with Nicaragua. The Jewish Defense League has taken credit for a fire this week that caused an estimated $38,000 in damages to local offices of Beverly Boulevard Company owned by Arab Palestinians. Waterford City, reflecting the growing anger over employment in Ireland, thousands of people took to the streets here in the mid-November confronting the government party Fianna Fáil with a mass demand for jobs, that's spelled Fianna Fáil. The demonstrations was organized by the Waterford Council of Trade Unions and had the unanimous support of the city council. Factories, offices, and shops throughout the city were closed as workers joined the march. China is reported planning to send a number of students to study at the university here in Thailand, Bangkok, under a scientific and technical agreement between the two Asian nations. Arab American graduate students, Sama Ismail, arrived here last week aboard an El Al jetliner after Israeli authorities, bowing to international pressure, released him from jail, placing him on probation, and expelled him from their country. Ismail, 24, born in Brooklyn, and a graduate student in electrical engineering, Michigan State University, was arrested in December 1977 on his arrival in Israel, Zionist Israel, on his way to see his dying father in Ramallah, in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Israeli police acted on information supplied to them by close associations with the FBI and CIA. Esmail's release came one day after the Palestine Human Rights Campaign in Washington, D.C., sent an appeal for his release to President Carter, an Israeli attorney general. The appeal's son was signed by the Reverend Ralph Abernathy and Senator James Aberzet, Democrat, South Dakota, Reverend Robert Carr, Democratic Michigan, who lost this election, Representative Thomas Harkin, who is also a loser, and over 100 other prominent figures. Esmail's attorneys, Esmails, in Israel, Felicia Langer, said Thursday that the Israeli authorities bowed to international pressure on release. Esmail said she was innocent of the charges against him. Pretoria. 11 black students have been brought to trial in South Africa on charges of promoting sedition and terrorism in connection with the uprising in the township of Soweto 2 years ago. The 10 men and one woman face the possibility of the death penalty if convicted of the charges. The students, ranging in age from 18 to 23, are members of the now banned Soweto Students Representative Council, merely a moderate to liberal council. Baghdad. In a move that could have far-reaching historical implications for the Middle East, Syrian President Hafez Assad arrived here Tuesday and was met at the airport by Iraqi President Hassan al-Bakr, B-A-K-R. The two are leaders of rival wings of the Arab Baath socialist movement, who have been locked in bitter conflict for over 15 years. Assad's visit here and the recent reopening of the border between the two nations are preludes to a conference here next week of governments opposed to the Camp David sellout put together by the United States, Israel, and Egypt, without considering Jordan and Lebanon, whose territories have been stolen by the imperialist actions of Zionist Israel. Tehran. Iran appeared this week to be on the verge of a full-scale revolution. Nationwide revolt as thousands of workers and students surged through the streets of cities, big and small, shouting slogans against the Shah in spite of the arrests of people of high position and low rank, as police fired indiscriminately into crowds of protesters, killing many. Government buildings, banks, restaurants, and other public structures were set afire. Cairo. Egyptian President Anwar Sadat has announced he will organize a new social democratic party with himself as leader, which will affiliate in the Socialist Second International, the Israeli Labor Party of Golda Meir and Yitzhak Rabin is affiliated with the same movement, which includes the British Labor Party. As you know, Anwar Sadat conducted a referendum that made him virtually the dictator of Egypt. Beirut. In a highly significant move that could greatly strengthen central authority in Lebanon, the Lebanese government has decided to court-martial two renegade army officials who command fascist forces in southern Lebanon in open collaboration with Israeli Zionist officials. Military sources here said this week Major Saad, S-A-A-D-H-A-D-D-A-D, and Major Sami, S-A-M-I, Chidiak, C-H-I-D-I-A-K, who have operated in defiance of army leadership, will be tried on charges of collaborating with Israel and inciting their troops to do likewise and to conduct tortures against their own citizens. Lusaka, sharply criticizing the United States and its imperialist allies for their lukewarm response to Rhodesian raids again and again into Zambian territory. Last week, Zambian President Kenneth Kaunda today angrily rejected the U.S.-British proposal for an all-parties conference to deal with Zimbabwe. Thus ends my commentary of the news for this Monday, November 13th. I love you very much. Stand true to socialism. It requires much sacrifice. I'm preparing to make great sacrifice. I know what it requires. I do love you. Remember, exactly 7:45, the beginning of the news discussion, breakdown of what I have given, will then begin, followed by immediately 1 hour thereafter, the language class in Russian. We have had a great breakthrough in Soviet relations. The Soviet Union has said they will make an international issue over the fact that this fascist congressman, Ryan, who has voted for the Pinochet regime, who has voted against the opening up of the Kennedy assassination to further inquiry because of all of the incongruities, all of the inconsistencies pointed out by our own attorney, Mark Lane, in Rush to Judgment and countless other works. He has said that the Soviet Union, as a nation, will make Jonestown an international issue if this congressman comes in against our will. That is at least some good news for the day. I love you very, very much.